true singer is if they can sing without any accompaniment. She has more guts than I do, because I don't know if I'd be able to do that there. Thank you, but Mr. Barry and Miss Kathy have been a very big encouragement to me in the time that my wife and I have been here, and it's good to see. You see Brother Barry around all week. I come into the office and I'm working, and he's out on the playground or he's out in the back there, and he's always doing something, but they've been a big encouragement to my wife and I. And I know to my parents as well. So if you have your Bibles, take them this evening to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19 is where we'll be at tonight. In regards to love works, my wife and I, we had the teenagers, and we did a couple of car washes. Had a great time. We did not really do so well here. In front of our church building on a Tuesday afternoon. I think people are just on their way home from work in a rush or whatever it is. And this is not as busy of a parkway as 776. But we went to the O'Reilly Auto Parts on 776 on Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, and we did it just for two and a half hours. And we sat out there and we washed car after car after car and had a great time. People loved it. And they try to give you donations, and we just said, no, this is completely free. We want to do this for our community, show the love of Christ. People loved it, thought it was awesome. And my wife actually got on to me because we had so many of those cards, and we still have extra, but we had so many of those cards, and we had them in her car. And we, after the car wash, my mind, and I hope this wasn't your mind, but my mind turned off of Love Works, and I was hungry, and I wanted some food. So we went to the either the Wendy's or the McDonald's, whatever it was, real quick to grab a bite to eat. And we go there. We order, and we get to the window, and she's tapping me on the shoulder, and she has the Love Works cards in her hand. She goes, give these to them. I'm like, no, no, we're not doing anything for them. She goes, give them to him, give them. So I grabbed them. She gave me one. She goes, no, give them two, because then they'll talk about it. So I gave her two. I gave the lady two. She loved it, thought it was a great idea, loved the fact. And so we go to the next window. She's tapping me on the shoulder again. Give them two. So I gave them two. And it was a reminder to me. As Miss Pat said, you're never not ever able to show love to people and to invite people to church. And I told her yesterday, I said, I'm going to start doing a little bit better with carrying tracts with me and starting handing out tracts and doing what I can to invite people to church, because we shouldn't just be like this one week. You know, this has been an awesome week, and I love this week. It's been so great. But she convicted me there and got me. So Exodus chapter 19, if you're there in your Bibles, we're going to start in verse number 1. And when I start out, you may look at this verse and you may think, well, why and how in the world is he going to make a message out of this? But just stay with me. Exodus chapter 19, and we'll read the first couple verses. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. So now he's got Moses up at the top of the mountain. And they've come to this mountain, and Jesus is now talking to Moses. And he says this. He wants Moses to tell the Israelites, verse 4, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. If you have a pen or pencil and you like to underline that, that is a key phrase, and I brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day that you've given to us. And God, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross tonight. May your words be said, not mine. And God, may you just give open ears, open minds, and hearts to the people that are here. God, would you just be with us tonight. Help us to have open ears and open minds, what you'd have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. What would you say would be the meaning of life? Sad thing is, we as Christians can honestly say that We could give a rough answer to that according to what the Bible says. But what really saddened me was when I was preparing this and that phrase, brought you unto myself. I got thinking about that phrase. And I got thinking about what is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of life? And then I got to thinking, what does the world, not us, what not the church, not Christians, what does the world think is the meaning of life? So you know what I did? I went on Google, and all I typed in was, what is the meaning of life? It was sad. It was really sad. This man must have been very depressed, must have been very down, and he posted on one of these sites and just said, what is the meaning of life? I'm struggling. Question mark, question mark, question mark. And there were all these answers, and a couple of them that stuck out to me was one man just said, just to survive and die. And that saddened me, but then I got to this one. I would consider, this is what this man said, I would consider being the meaning of life what one makes it to be, meaning that it is solely dependent on each and every one to define what makes him or her happy. Basically, whatever makes you happy, that's the meaning of life. I believe that my own purpose here on earth is to live a good and happy life. Therefore, it is only up to me to define what is for me to be happy and to have a good life. And I read that. You know how sad I got? Thinking of people that are living life without Jesus and they have no idea what the meaning of life is. And I just so badly want to take my Bible with these people. The good thing to this is I was going to do it. I actually was all prepared for an answer to go ahead and write on this article because I believe the Lord led me there for a reason. But someone had already taken that article and written a long, long comment about how they can know for sure they're on their way to heaven when they die. There's more to life than just living and dying. It's that you're here to glorify God. And when you die, you will spend eternity somewhere. And he laid the whole plan of salvation crystal clear in that article. And you know what saddened me was I sat there and I looked at those and it saddened me to think that there's more than just what we think out there. How we believe, how we see life as Christ is our goal and where we're headed to. What is the true meaning of life? The true meaning of life is God bringing us to himself. That verse that I quoted a couple weeks ago, 1 Peter 1:14-16, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. What's the meaning of life? It's to be like Christ. Be more like Christ. If I were to ask any of you, what is the goal of the Christian life? You say it's to be more like Christ. Because the word Christian literally means to be a little Christ. What is the goal of the Christian life? What is the meaning of life? It's to be more like Christ. To be more like Christ. God wants us to come for him for everything. The Bible says, Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Bible says, come to me. Jesus is, he wants us to come and see him. He wants us to know him. Why do you think Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, Philippians 3:10, he said, that I may know him. That I may know him. What is the goal of the Christian life? To be more like Christ. What is the meaning of life? To know Christ. To be more like Christ. And if the world out there is ever going to see Christ, how are they going to see it? They're not going to see it by driving by a church, maybe by what is put on the sign. But where they're going to see Christ is in you and me. What's the meaning of life? To be more like Christ. The Bible said here in verse number four, God was talking to Moses and he told Moses, he said, I want you to tell the children of Israel, this is what I want you to tell them, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bear you on eagle's wings. I bear you on eagle's wings. God comes, I want you to take your Bibles, we're going to transition into another book of the Bible here, Deuteronomy chapter number 32, and God gives us his method here. The method God uses to draw us to himself. The method God uses to bring us closer to him is found in Deuteronomy chapter number 32. And I'm going to start in verse number 11 and read two verses. The Bible says, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God to him." I want you to notice something. The Bible starts in verse 11. It says, "as an eagle." And it gives all the descriptions of what an eagle does. But the next verse that below it says, "so the Lord." And what I've done in my Bible is I've underlined "as the eagle," and I've underlined "so the Lord," and I've put an arrow going both ways. What this eagle does is what the Lord does for us. And the Bible's trying to give us an example of how the Lord draws us to himself, how the Lord is involved in our day-to-day life, how God is involved in our lives. And he says here, "as an eagle, so the Lord." That's why Moses said in Psalm chapter 90, verse 1 to 2, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God." Think of Moses' life for a second. Moses had no place to call home. When his mother, by faith, placed him in a basket among the bulrushes, he was not in the river's brink, but he was in God's hand. When Pharaoh's daughter found him and took him to Pharaoh's palace, he realized he wasn't in Pharaoh's palace, but he was in God's hand. When he grew up in the palace and was trained in all the wonders of Egypt, he wasn't in the palace, he was in God's hand. And then when he was a 40-year-old man, you remember when he tried to save the Israelites out of Egypt and take it into his own hands? And then he had to go out to the wilderness, on the backside of the wilderness, for 40 years. He realized he wasn't in a desert place, but he was in God's hands. That's why he could write in Psalm chapter 90, verse 1 to 2, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place." If there's anything I need to understand in my life, doesn't matter where I'm at, the Lord is my dwelling place. And that is why Moses could say, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place from everlasting to everlasting. You're God. You're going to take care of me. You're going to do what needs to be done." So how does God bring us to himself? The meaning of life, God bringing us closer to him. How does God do that? Well, I want to look at "as an eagle, so the Lord." Number one, as an eagle, so the Lord builds. The Lord builds. I want you to look at verse number 11 of Deuteronomy chapter 32. The Bible says, "as an eagle stirreth up her," what's the next word? Nest. In order to be a nest, to stir up, someone had to build that nest. I found it really interesting. Eagles have the world record for the biggest nest ever built. And it took me by complete surprise when I found out how big it was. It was 20 feet deep, okay? 20 feet. It was 9.5 feet wide. And it weighed almost 3 tons. An eagle's nest, okay? An eagle's nest. Sometimes, as we go about our day, as we go about our life, we hear this phrase, "I'm a self-made person. I'm a self-made businessman. I'm a self-made," you fill in the blank. "I'm a self-made this." And to me, when I hear that statement, it almost hurts me because I think to myself, no. Had you not had the breath that God gave you, you wouldn't be able to do that. Had you not had the strength to be able to start this, you would have never been able to do it. But God gave you the strength. God built a nest for you to be able to jump in. God built that nest for you to be able to be there. So, as an eagle, so the Lord builds. God builds his people. Think of your life as a continual construction site that God's always building. When I think of my life in that way, as I was thinking about it this week, or yesterday when I got the call to preach, as I was thinking about this yesterday, I didn't mean to do that, I'm sorry. No. As I was thinking about this yesterday, I thought to myself, if my life is a continual construction site, I'm never where I need to be. And if I'm not finished being built, there's still more to be done. And I think if we can get that grasp in the Christian life and think, okay, I'm not done. There's still more that needs to be done with me. There's still stuff that's got to be done in my Christian life. I'm not where I need to be. And my wife will be the first person to attest tonight. I am not where I need to be. And you and I can sit here and say tonight, I'm not where I need to be. I'm in a continual construction site. The Lord is continually building our nest, continually building. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's not done working on you. There's a song that says that. He's not done working on you. God will never, ever, ever be finished with us. Ever. He's continually building our nest, and he's continually, as the eagle builds the nest for her little eaglets, so the Lord is building our nest. So the Lord is building for us. So as an eagle, so the Lord builds. But number two, as an eagle, so the Lord breaks. Breaks. I want you to look at verse 11. The Bible says, as an eagle, in the next couple words, stirreth up her nest. You know what the eagle does? That eagle knows that her little eaglets, am I saying that right, little eaglets? Her little eaglets cannot stay in that nest forever. And listen, you and I as Christians will not be able to stay in our little comfort zone forever. God's going to pull us out of our little comfort zone. He's going to place things into our life that aren't so comfy. You know what that eagle's going to do? That eagle's going to take sticks that were once horizontal. She's going to make them vertical. So that when her little eaglet sits down, she's not comfortable. It's not as comfy as it once was. And that little eaglet sits down and, ooh, that's not comfy. Ooh, that's not comfy. And that eagle is stirring up the nest so that that little eaglet understands you're not going to be able to be here forever. And it's not comfortable necessarily for the little eaglet. But I want you to think of this. How many times in our life has God placed a stick in our nest that's been horizontal and he's placed it upright? And you and I as Christians sit there and we think, what is going on? I'm doing everything right. I'm trying to be where I'm supposed to be. I'm trying to do what God's called me to do. What is going on? That eagle had to put that up there so that the eaglet understands, look, don't get comfortable here. Don't get comfortable. We got to look at the stirring of our nest a little bit differently than what our minds comprehend. Our minds think, ooh, that doesn't feel right. Let me figure this out. But the Lord is trying to change us through this. God's trying to make us understand something through the stirring of the nest. And when we look at it in these couple ways, stirrings provide us with opportunity. Stirrings in our nest will provide us with some opportunity. I think of Right off the bat, I think of Joy and Nate Hines. Immediately, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. It provide the stirring of their nest, which may not have been very comfortable, provided them with opportunity. Think of talking with Nate. In fact, he texted us the other night and just said he was praying for the work up here, letting everybody know that he loved and was appreciative of everything that was going on and saw all the Love Works things going on. But I think of the texts of, hey, we had this opportunity to talk to this person about the Lord while we were in the hospital waiting on Addie's procedure or this. And the opportunity that's come to them would never, ever, ever have showed its head had God not stirred their nest a little bit. God stirred their nest and it brought them to a place where they were able to have opportunities that would have never come. Now, where is God stirring your nest? Where you have opportunities that you would have never had God not stirred your nest. And if we look at it in that realm of, okay, God, you're stirring my nest. You're making things uncomfortable for me. Why? What opportunity? What's coming my way? Stirrings provide us with opportunities. They also promote our spiritual maturity. Think of the maturity I bet you Nate and Joy, going through what they've been going through, the spiritual maturity that they've gained in having to grow in the things of God has been massive. And when things come into our life, what's the first thing that people say when something happens to them? God, why? Where does everybody's attention go to the minute Christian, non-Christian alike? Where does everybody's attention go to? God, why? God, why is this in my life? Why are you doing this? And you know what they'll turn to? They'll turn to a church. They'll turn to the pastor. They'll turn to Christians that they know. And they'll turn and they'll want to know what's going on. What is God doing? What is going on? And that, in turn, provides the promoting of spiritual maturity, but it produces a sense of dependence. I want you to notice this. When you have a stirring of the nest, something that comes in your life, it's uncomfortable, and the Lord is breaking up your nest, it's going to bring a sense of dependence to where it's not, I can't depend on my own goods anymore, on my own merit, on my own goodwill, my own good deeds, what I can do to fix the situation. I am a person, someone said this morning, I'm a doer. Oh, Brother King said I'm a doer. I like to get it done. I like to get things done. And he said it, and I'm the same way. When things come, I'm like, let's get this done. Let's do it. Let's go ahead and do it to the best of our ability, and let's do this. But the minute something goes wrong, and the minute a job goes south, or the minute we lose something, or whatever happens, and I can't do it anymore, you know what? I'm sitting here like, okay, I got to call Brother Barry because Brother Barry knows everything. I don't know what I'm doing. Or I got to call this person. It leaves me with a sense of dependence on someone because I don't know something. I don't know what's going on, and I don't like not knowing what's going on. So I have a sense of dependence. And when God has stirred our nest, and God's brought stuff into our life to just make us uncomfortable, to bring us to something, it provides a sense of dependence on Him. You know what God wants? God wants to be called on. God wants to be asked for. He wants to be seek me early and you shall find me. The Bible talks about that. God wants that. And it provides that sense of dependence. But then stirrings, they prepare our heart for ministry. They prepare our heart for ministry. How many times have you heard of someone that goes through something very tailor-made for them, and now they have a heart for someone that is going through the same exact thing that they went through? When I was called to preach, my teenage years, I had been running away from God, not doing necessarily what I was supposed to do, and I had been doing things that I knew were wrong. When I was called to preach, I was called to preach, and I went forward and laid my life before the Lord and said, God, whatever you have to do with my life, you do it. And throughout my teenage years, I started to fall back from that. I thought, oh, maybe will people forget about that. Maybe people will forget that I was called to preach. Maybe I can just go on and not have that held over my head. But that's not how it works. I had written in the front of my Bible the date I was called to preach. The guy who was preaching signed right underneath it. There's no running from that. There's no running from it. And when I finally came back to the Lord the end of my teenage years, before my senior year of high school, when I finally came back to the Lord, my heart for ministry was tailor-made to work with teenagers. Why? Because I did not want them making those mistakes. Because if I've been through it, look, I've been there. You know what? There are people that come in and they deal with loss of this or loss of a mother or a father, and I will give them Bible verses and I can talk to them. But one thing I cannot say is I know how you're feeling. I can't say that. And being honest, But when a teenager comes into my office and says, Johnny, I'm struggling with this. I need your help. Where can I turn to? I can say, listen, I've been there. I've seen it. I've done that. I'm going to help you. Here's where the Bible, here's what the Bible says about it. Let's work through this together. And my heart is tailor-made and it's prepared for that ministry because I've been there and I've been through it. And that's only because God stirred my nest. And if God has stirred your nest in any way, shape, or form, you are being prepared for a certain ministry. There's no one single ministry. You are tailor-made for someone who may be going through the same exact thing that you're going through. And I love to see, this morning someone came in and said, well, this happened to me this morning. And the man I was standing with said, that happened to me so many years ago. Let me talk to you. The man, when he told me this, I couldn't relate with him because this has never happened to me. But the man I was standing with said, hey, this happened to me too. Whatever God is stirring your nest in, you are tailor-made for a certain ministry. And I don't know what it is. But God places situations that we think we can't handle, but he puts them there to make us better. To make us better. Someone once said this, and I love this statement. God is in the disturbances just as much as he's in the deliverances. He's going to disturb your nest. He's going to disturb my nest. But he's in the disturbances just as he is, just as much as he is the deliverances. And he wants to have you and me call on him and say, God, I need you. God, I need you. So as the eagle builds, so the Lord. As the eagle breaks, so the Lord. But as an eagle, so the Lord broods. Look at verse 11. As the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young. The mother eagle's already got the eaglet's attention. She's put some of those sticks that are horizontal. She's made them vertical. She's made things uncomfortable. But now she takes the next step and she hovers over them. She has to show them what's next. How do I fly? When they think they've been abandoned, these sticks are up and horizontal, or they're vertical now, and things are not as nice and comfortable as they were, and they think they've been abandoned. That mother is just right over top of them. The Bible says, fluttereth over her young. She's just hovering right there. You know what I love about God? There's never, ever a time where he's not with us. Ever. They know that they look just like their mother. These eagles, they know they look just like her. She's out of the nest and they're still in the nest. It shows them that they need to break out and learn to fly. Some of us may be being taken out of our comfort zone with things God's placed in our life, and maybe we're not as comfortable as we once were. But God is just having us step out by faith, as Peter had to step out of the boat. Step out by faith and just believe that God's going to take care of you. Believe that he's there. Because God is always, always, always with us. And you know what's amazing is he's even there when we turn our back on him. When we're not as faithful as we ought to be. When we've missed our devotionals, our devotional life for the past week, he's still there. And even though we've turned our back on him, he's not going to turn his back on us because he loves us. He loves us. And I love this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 31 even. It goes into saying, verse 3, it says, the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee. They're saying, hey, God's going before you. God's here. He's got your back. He's with you. Then he goes to verse 6 of chapter 31. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Then he goes to verse 8. Lord, And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee. Do you see a theme here in this chapter? God will be with you. God will be there. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed, because this is coming to the end of Moses' life here at the end of Deuteronomy. And Joshua is the next person that's about to take over. Joshua chapter 1. And God is saying, listen, listen, I'm with you. I'm with you. Don't worry. Make sure you tell Joshua I'm here. I'm going before you. And then he comes to the beginning of Joshua and he says, it's the most one of the most famous verses in Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee? I was sitting here all throughout Deuteronomy. I will be with you. I will be there. I will not forsake you. I will go before you. Then he says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That should be an encouragement to us that no matter what nest is stirred in our life, what is going on in our life, no matter how it's stirred, God is always hovering over, always there, fluttering over his young, wanting to take care of us. Wanting to take care of us. But then lastly, I want you to notice this. As an eagle bears, so the Lord bears. The Bible says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on eagle's wings, beareth them on her wings. The eagle, you see, one brave little eaglet gets the courage to just jump out of the nest. And she decides that she's just going to take that step and jump out of the nest. She starts to flap her wings like she's seen her mother do so many times. And she's flapping and flapping. And she's okay for a little while. But then she starts to fall. But the amazing thing is that the eagle bears them on her wings. That mother eagle, she swoops in. She flies down and she catches that little eaglet. Says, don't worry, I got you. I got you. The Lord knows when you and I step out by faith and do something for him. You may be in our little comfort zone, we may be. God's stirring up our nests, and you know what the next step is? God's making us step out by faith, because that's the whole goal for that eagle. Her job is to stir up the nest, to show them how to fly, to be there for them, so that when they do jump out of the nest, she can be there in case they fall. And it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. However you're stepping out by faith for Christ, God will be there to catch you. He sees you falling. And what saddens me is a lot of times we see so many people as Christians, they get saved, they get discipled in the things of the Lord, and then they just start falling away from the things that they've learned. And you see this all the time. Christians that have been saved and they're all on fire for God, they start falling away from God. They've lost the meaning of life. And you know what that is? To be drawn closer to the Lord. To be drawn closer to God. God is constantly bringing us to himself in this way. He's going to build our nest for us, a big nest, a good nest. He's going to break it up, put some things in our life that aren't so good, aren't so nice. But he's going to be there the whole time. He's going to be there always with us. And when we step out by faith and make that leap of faith for God and say, God, I'm going to do what you want me to do. God, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this. Some of you tonight, God's pricking your heart and saying, you need to step out by faith. And you need to make this step for me. I'll catch you. I'll be there. I've been here all the way. Can't you see? Deuteronomy chapter 31. He will go before you. He is there. He will not forsake you. He'll be there. But how many of us tonight are sitting here saying, man, there's something I need to step out by faith, and I just need the Lord to bear me on his wings because I know I can't do it alone. I know I can't do it alone. If we were born again just to be saved, why are we still here? What's the purpose? What's your purpose? What's my purpose? If we were just say, I was in college one time and I heard someone say this, maybe you said it too. This man said, if you were saved just to be saved, why didn't God just hit you over the side of the head with a baseball bat and take you home to heaven when you died or when you got saved? And that's stuck in my head. Obviously, you can tell that's been stuck in my head. And that rings in my ears. Why am I saved? Why am I on this earth? So I can do what the Lord has for me. Become closer to Him so that He can then tell me, He can then direct me, He can then guide me, He can then show me where to go, what to do, who to talk to, who to hand a Love Works card, what coffee shop to go into. That's what the Lord does. This is how the Lord takes us and brings us closer to Him. And these couple little verses here in Deuteronomy chapter 32 are a perfect example of how God takes care of us as Christians. Father, I thank You for this day that You've given to us.